Mike and Pat, there's water down here for you guys. Come on up.
He wants to go up with that.
Yeah, with that.
There is water down here if you need any, okay?
Okay, I may need it because I have lots and lots to share. I was sitting there. I went over to get the pen, and I started writing. Now, which testimonies can I share with you? I have almost 400 on my computer. And I'm thinking, which ones? And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I thought, that's probably too much. So I will allow the Holy Spirit to direct my words. But I want to speak to you. We do, you know, we were made in the image of God. Yes. We were created to be His children. We were created to just love Him and respect Him. And He wanted to lavish everything on us. He created, like a good father, He created a home for us to live in, the beautiful earth. And this year we've gone swimming in the Indian Ocean, which is nice and warm.
87 degrees.
And we've been on the Pacific Ocean, which was cold. And this week we will head tomorrow out to the Atlantic Ocean. When we were in Missouri, I liked to go on vacation, but now I'm on a continual traveling experience with God and with my husband, who I love so much. And I just want to share with you that God is good. We were created because He wanted kids. We were married 10 years. Mike did not want any kids, and I wanted a house full. Well, guess who won? We have 18 in Kenya, and we have our beautiful 35-year-old daughter in Blue Springs who is extremely big with child. She's due on November 12th, but she probably will have it before that. So, and this is her number 2. And you know, I love chocolate. And I have 7 chocolate grandbabies in Kenya. And I love them so, so much. And I miss them really, really bad. But the vanilla is good, too. So I have 2 vanilla. Well, I have more than 2 vanilla. I have at least 5. But God is good. And because we chose as mankind to do things our own way, Adam was the first one who sinned. But, you know, we all come short. God, in His mercy and in His love and in His forethought, planned for Christ to come. And Christ, Jesus had already said before Adam was born, Jesus has said, if they mess up, or when they mess up, Papa, I'll go down and I'll be the one who brings them back to You, because I love You so much. And Jesus, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He shall destroy the works of the evil one. And yet we go out and we suffer, and because even though we are born again, we deal with thoughts that are not of God. I am continually having to renew my mind. Who am I? Because if I allow my thoughts to think about, who are you really? It's like I can give you 25 reasons why I should not be here. I am blessed. I have been married 45 years to the same man who loves me. So much. He loves me more every day. But if I think about who I am, I can have a pity party. I can have a guilt party. So I appreciate the writer, the Apostle Paul, the writer of Ephesians, because in chapter 1, he was building up the church. He was reminding these children of God who they were. And I'm going to ask Mike to read Ephesians 1, chapter 1, 1 through 7. If you can find your glasses. If not, Jeff can. Okay, do you have them? No, maybe I had to go looking for them. Do you need a mic, Mike? Do you want mic? Okay, Pastor Jeff, can you read? Okay, they fell down. We need to continually pray for Mike and his glasses. The microphone, Mike.
I'm Mike. I don't
move behind that.
You have to move behind the speaker or it'll squeal.
I'm recording you too.
Thank you for.
Yeah, now we're on. Ephesians 1, what?
Chapter 1, verses 1 through 7.
Oh, I like those. Yes. I could quote most of it. Huh? I could quote most of that. Okay. All right. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, in the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, through the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace.
In those few verses, Paul is saying we are saints. We are chosen ones. We are faithful. We have grace and peace. Do you know how many people you know people around the world that do not have the peace? We have peace. Even though tribulations come, we have peace. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Everything. The only thing we have to do is believe. We are chosen. We are holy and we are without blame. And we are in his love. Well, we are predestined to be adopted to be his children. He chose us. We ran away, but he chose us. And we bring him good pleasure. I mean, we make our papa happy. So, you know, we always think, well, he's so good to us, but we make him happy. We are acceptable. We are chosen. I remember in grade school, I was always the little kid that was allergic to balls. And so when it was time to play baseball or kickball, and they chose teams, I was always the one not chosen. But that in God I was chosen. What a beautiful thing. We are chosen. We are forgiven. And we have His grace. And that's only seven verses. And yet when we renew our minds, when we keep focused there, nothing is impossible for us. Nothing. That little girl from the inner city of Kansas City was transported to Kenya, Africa, and we are seeing a nation change. If you look at our map and the points, it's amazing. And I'm not bragging. I'm saying that when I gave Mike this box of pens to put on the map, and then like a few days later, I was looking at the box, and this is no lie. I'm looking at the box. There's only a few pens left, and I'm searching because I don't want pens to have fallen. I'm searching in the bag and in the box. Where are those pens? They must have fallen out. And finally, I looked on the map. They're on the map. They're not lost. They're on the map. And that is not because of our obedience and faithfulness, but it's because of God's power. People are changing. There is a baby. One of my favorite testimonies is of a church in the village in Western Kenya, and they were having an all-night prayer meeting, which is very common in Africa. I only stay awake New Year's Eve if I have to. But they do it like every month, sometimes every week. And they were praising the Lord, and as they were praising, a woman came in who had been outside walking, and she had a baby in her arm. I'm sure they just thought, you know, there she was in the middle of the night with a baby. That was strange. So they went down to see why. The baby was dead. The mama had just come from the clinic. The baby had died on the way to the clinic. The mama came from the clinic with the death certificate in her hand. And they said, and she said, I was just so tired. And they said, I must take the baby home. And I have to bury it tomorrow. But our pastor, knowing that he was a saint, knowing that he was blessed, knowing that he was without blame, knowing that he was loved, he said no. And he asked the baby's name, and he called the baby seven times, and the baby woke up. This was a baby with a death certificate in the hand. The mommy had the hand, the certificate. The baby. All things are possible to them that believe, not just in Kenya.
That's right.
God is good. God is good. When we know who we are, that pastor, he knew who he was, and he took authority over it. There was another lady. Her name was, she was in our Bible college. We have, Mike will tell you the numbers of churches and Bible colleges we have, because numbers are kind of like a useless substance in my life. I'm not really good with numbers, but there was a lady who was in our Bible college leading praise and worship. And when we got there, okay, we have, this is Kenya. We're in the central Meru's, is where Mike and me live with our kids. And we have Bible colleges around there. We're in Kitale, which is western Kenya, by Uganda. Okay, good. And then we have colleges on the coast. So, but this was, so we live in the central area. We go over to minister on the western, and Beth, who was always so active, she wasn't there, and I wasn't there the first week. I was ministering in another place, and Mike says, "Well, where's Beth?" And they said, "She's sick. She's seriously sick." And Mike said he told the guys to go, well, if she's sick, she needs to come. So they actually did. They carry her, and they prayed over her, and she was feeling better when she left. And so then her mother was able to walk her home. Beth is probably 35 or 40. And her mother helped her home. Well, the next week, I was there, but she wasn't there again. So this time we went to the class. There probably was 15, 23 people there. We all went down to see Beth. And when she came, she was so weak she could not sit up. She was leaning on me. She was hyperventilating. She must have been breathing 40, 50 times per minute. And she was really, really sick. We asked our students to lay hands on her, and none of them would, because it was evident that she was almost dead. She had AIDS. Probably because her husband came home and gave her AIDS. And we prayed. She was leaning on me. And we prayed. And Mike said, it's up to you, Beth. You can either go home to Jesus, which is good. The apostle Paul says, it is good to go home, but it's better that I stayed. Well, we left her that way, that condition, not knowing what she would choose. In 2 weeks, she was back praising, leading praise and worship. She had
35 pounds in 2 weeks.
She was so thin. She was a skeleton. She was completely gone, almost. She gained 35 pounds in 2 weeks. Now, the way I get fit in America, I might gain 10 pounds in 2 weeks. But she gained, and it wasn't just muscles, and it wasn't water. It was healthy muscles. And she's alive and well because somebody knew. She had enough word in her to know that she was chosen, that she was not just a mistake, that she was, even despite her disease, God loved her, and she was his child. How much more time do I have? Apache, our daughter, she's been with us since 2005? Six. She came very sick. She, 13 years old, she had gonorrhea, syphilis, and AIDS. And within a few weeks, she was healed completely, completely. But it took her a long time to be healed in her heart. To change who she was, to change her identity. physical healing, you know, sometimes we are so focused on obtaining that physical healing, which is great, because if you're going to die or live, I mean, it's important that you be healed. But it took her so long to figure out who, and she still struggles somewhat. But she has a hope in the future because she has the Word of God. And she can choose every day. You choose whether you're happy and whether you're sad. Depression is not a disease, it's a choice. You can choose to be happy. You can choose to focus on Jesus. And your chemistry will change. Focus on your own circumstances. Choose life and death. Or death. Jesus said, choose life. And yes. And so I'm going to leave with this. I could go on and on, but yesterday was a wonderful, wonderful day for Mike and me. Our son, who is 24 years old, just graduated from the Kenyon Methodist University with a degree in business. This is a little, he came to us as an 11-year-old, 12-year-old boy. His mother just died of cancer. He was not on the street like some of our other kids. But he devastated because his mother left. And he was all alone with his big brother worked for us. But I remember, you know, one day going into Dennis's room and I was after him. I'm the mama, you know. And I probably was shaking my finger and I said something. I used the word stupid. I usually try not to call my kids stupid. But he says, I'm not a stupid mama. I have the mind of Christ. So I had to walk away. This young man, almost 25 years old, in high school, his nickname in a public high school was Pastor Dennis, because he has a love of God. He has a pastoral heart. And yet he can administrate. He can administrate a big organization and get things done. He's an awesome man of God, and he graduated yesterday. So we are really, really excited. One thing about Dennis, a few months ago, Mike will talk more about this tribe, but we are reaching, we began a ministry in an area that is unreached. Before now, we have always been working with churches that have been condemned. The rubble, they are unreached. And Dennis loves to go in there. He went in there one day, and it's how many miles from the road? 50? 50 kilometers from the blacktop. And he went in there on his motorcycle, and it started raining before he came out. And the mud is, you know, that sticky, gooey stuff. And he got stuck in the mud. And many, many, many times, and he had to push. And he lost his shoes. When he finally found somebody to take the bike so he could go on into town, he found a game warden, and his feet were bleeding because he had lost his shoes. So the game warden said, "Oh, you're bleeding, and there's lions out here. You could have died. What protected you?" and he said, my God. Two of those game wardens got born again that afternoon. He went on out. By the time he reached the blacktop, it was 10 o'clock at night. And the police came to see what he was doing because it was all money. And he was with Laban, our other son. And they were just a mess. And when they found out, the police there are not usually helpful. But when they... But when they found out where he had been, what he had been doing, the policeman stopped a private vehicle and said, oh, the policeman got born again? And then the policeman stopped the private vehicle and ordered him, you take this pastor and his brother home. So he got home that night. Dennis is an amazing young man. Just at the beginning of his life, and I count it a privilege to be able to watch him go. It says in Psalms 127 that children are blessings from the Lord, and they are like arrows in your quiver. And what's an arrow made to do? An arrow is made for one thing. And the thing is not to be a decoration on your wall. But an arrow is made to go forth. And Dennis is going forth. We like to keep him in the quiver because he's awesome. And maybe someday he will come back. But he's going forth. And I count it a privilege to watch him go. You guys, because you support us, because you pray for us, you whatever Dennis does with his life, whatever Apache does with her life, whatever that baby who was brought back from the dead does with her life, you guys are part of that. You guys are a big part of it. We cannot be there without you. But with you, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you.
You see a slide up there. If you need more room for stuff, just set the side. Okay. I think I'll do that. You see some slides up there. I want to show we have a PowerPoint and a short video of our graduation we had in our compound on July 15th. We have Bible College. This is across the nation. We have three regions. We have offices in three regions, three directors. And so we'll be showing you that. But this is something, Pat. She does these PowerPoints, and the writing that you will see on there, we don't have music with this one. I always like music, but she has something to say there so that you can read it and not focus. It's about 9,000 miles from Kansas City to where we live right now, 14,000 kilometers. Takes us between 40 and 50 hours to get here because of the layovers and all that from the time we leave our house. Okay. Those are some areas, as you see the guy hauling all those tires, they haul all kinds of things on those things. Typical, they're all like little 150s. That motorcycle Dennis rides of ours is a 150. That's looking out from one of the apartments we have on the coast, looking out the surrounding area there around the apartment. Those are just people all over the nation that, well, you see Kaufman's doing around Colorado there. This couple up, the black couple up there, they're pastors that helps over in KCK. There's people all over that young couple over here, they spent a year with us. They live here in Raytown. That couple up there in the corner over there, that couple. Those two ladies just came in April. They're from California. This is our daughter and our first grandbaby there. She's now 17 months old. And Tiona's having another one in a couple weeks, quickly after the other one. She's 35, so I guess she wants to get going. That lady down in the corner over there, the older lady there, she's 81, and she is a missionary in Kenya. And she says she's from here. She's from Kansas City, but she's planning on dying in Kenya. She doesn't plan to come back. That's part of our house there. You see those lilies, that tree there, those things. We go down to the river, and you just pull a stick of it off. You don't have to have roots. You don't have anything. You just stick it in the ground, and it grows, and I have to keep cutting it back all the time because it gets too big, and then it just happens that way. There's some of our kids. They were little, 5 years on up, a lot of them, but now they're getting bigger. Now we've taken some more since then, so that's them all acting silly. Maybe girl Doreen there, she was 5. Well, she was 2 days from being 5 when we got her. She's 19, and she's graduating next month from high school. That's Apoche that had the AIDS and all. She lives over in Western Kenya. She'll be finishing high school next month. We send her over there. We were baptizing some of our boys in the Indian Ocean there a few months back. That's Dennis. That is Dennis. He's incredible. Stop that right there for a minute with Dennis. I want to tell you a testimony also about him. If you can get back to Dennis there.
I'm trying to.
Okay. He, a few weeks ago, because he goes up, we send different pastors up there. We go up there to the Drobo tribe. And he was up there. He was up there and that tribe, there's other tribes that come around. And these guys came out of the forest, these 7 men with their spears, and they all carry spears there, you know, and they're kilt-looking things. That's what they look like, that they wear. And this particular tribe, these particular men are tribal warriors, another tribe that come against that tribe, and they come in to steal their livestock, and they kill people to get it. They had 2 months before this, they had killed a British man who owns property up there. He caught them trying to steal his cattle, and they killed him with their spears. I mean, these guys are bad guys, and this happens a lot. In fact, when we go there, the people are always amazed that we get through because they're afraid of those tribal guys that come, and they think that oh, my gosh, how did you get here? Well, this particular day, one of our students was inside the building. We have a place there that's an old stone building that these white settlers had left there and abandoned years ago. And there's nobody around there, no churches around, so we have our church in that building. Nobody cares, we just have it there. So we've got about 70 kids and we got some adults. So the adults were inside, they were preaching to them, the student was. Dennis was outside with the children. They saw those men come out of the forest and they all started running because they were so afraid of them because they just knew they'd die. They didn't leave, which happens. Well, Dennis walks up to those guys. Now, understand, they speak Maasai. Dennis speaks 3-4 languages, but he doesn't speak Maasai. Nobody up there. Pastor, this is a miracle in itself. Every single week, we have to believe God for somebody to come that speaks Maasai so that we can speak English to Swahili to Maasai so they understand. We don't, and we're committed to going every single week, and we're growing that people group there, getting the gospel in there. But God does a miracle every week just in that because he has to bring somebody, and there's nobody permanent there. Most of those people don't know English. They don't know Swahili. Dennis walks up to those 4 tribal people. They don't know. They're Barana, but he doesn't know their language either. And they have spears, and he walks up to them and starts speaking the word of God to them, explaining salvation to them. And they had this stare, he said, that was incredible. Their face looked fierce. All of a sudden, it kind of went blank, and they sat down. Their traditions, if they just go blank like that and they sit down to a person, that means that they are respecting them and they are going to listen. He explained salvation to them, and they got all excited. We go, what is going on? What? Two of them really got excited. Well, then one of the young people that we have that works someplace else came up who does speak their language and interprets. Two of them accepted Jesus Christ. They heard the word in their own language. God has told us to go. We have went. And every week, I mean, imagine, you like to preach? Well, one interpreter is something, but we have to have two. We have English to Swahili to Maasai. And so it takes a while to preach, you know, to speak to them. These guys got born again, and they went off saying that they were going to go tell others. So we're starting to get back. A couple of years ago, we tried to get into this tribe in another area where they're at, and we couldn't. The tribal elders who don't go out into society, they don't go out among people usually, said no, and they made the young people leave. We were going to start a school there. So now we are making inroads, and we are. It's growing slowly, but it's growing in an area where there is no schools. In fact, the very first time we went up there, it hadn't rained in 3 years. We said, well, we need to fix it. So we just prayed. That evening it started raining. It rained for 2 weeks straight. and they got a lot of rain. It's just incredible. And the young man who, by the way, who speaks the Maasai has two wives. He got born again. And he has two wives, and they're young, and they both have babies, and they're in church on Sundays. And he said to me, Pastor, what do I do? I understand now I shouldn't have. I said, don't marry anymore. That's where the first place you start. You need to take care of these, but don't marry anymore. You know, they don't know.
That's right.
If the Bible says if we don't go and tell them, they won't know. No matter what, if you're committed, God will find a way and will provide a way for you to get the message, even if you don't speak their language and nobody there does, God will interpret for them.
Yeah.
Hardened guys who, I mean, they'll go walking by and they carry their spears and they'll sit them down right beside you there and talk to you, but they won't get away from that spear. They won't come in. Those that he's gotten like seven of those guys born again now. And they don't come in because they know we're not worthy. They'll sit out the church outside the church, though, and talk. So we don't care. We just go outside there. You know, it's just an old brick stone building. Dennis loves doing that. Dennis is quite an administrator and a big heart as a pastor. He really does have that pastoral heart. I believe someday, because we're raising up leaders there, you know, and Pat and I aren't getting any younger, someday that he will be back, I pray that he does, to run things. But we do have, even right now, some really, really good leaders. But that's Dennis. And when he was young, he was pretty rough, and he would sneak out. And we have bars on all the windows. They do all over the world when you go outside this country. And they're spot welded, and they would break that thing and bend them out, and they'd sneak out, and they'd come back. They used to do a lot of things. But the word of God has gotten in him. He sent this morning some pictures. Because I asked him, where's the pictures? So he wrote right back, you know, it's 9 hours ahead of here. So, and then he wrote Mama a letter, and it was heartfelt. And Pat, I said, do you want to put that? He said, oh, I'm keeping that one for me. Because he was so appreciative. But he started out, I'm appreciative you taught me the word. Moms. Parents, all of you, can you ask for a better present than that? He's incredible. And it's the word that does that. Okay? Go ahead with the slides. This boy here, David, we had his brother also not with us now, but he's 18 now, but when he was a toddler, his mother was dying of AIDS, and next to us about 35 miles away is a desert area, and they will take their children out onto that desert floor because they don't know what to do, and they're hopeless, and they take them onto the floor and leave them for the hyenas to eat. And a little child, it has to be pretty small, because if you're taller than a hyena, the hyena won't bother you. They're afraid. They'll get around you and all. If there's only a few of them, if there was many, they might attack. But if there's only one or two of them, if you're taller than them, they are afraid, so they don't attack. Pretty much is what happens. And so he was a little toddler out there on that desert floor, and his older brother, who we had for quite a while, who was about 5 years older than him, and went looking and found him, praise God. But they were on the street for years. His older brother and another young boy came from that village town that's out in the desert, and they came to our house one day, and they said, "Pastor, you promised me when you were in Isiolo, this is the town, that you would come back here and start a ministry, and God had told me we would, but we hadn't done it yet." He says, "So you didn't come, so I came to you." And it's 35 miles, 38 miles, something like that, that they walk across that desert to get to us. Wow. And God sent him there. So God saved his life for a purpose. He's actually been a very easy child. Some of our street kids, I used to be a cop, and let's just say they were really hard to deal with. He is a little bit immature. A lot of these kids are immature when they come, and even as they're older, because we have 20-somethings, you know. He's in sixth grade, and he's 18. You know, because they didn't have the opportunity, they didn't have the opportunity to be children. And so they revert back and do their thing, you know, and you have a 20-year-old that's acting like a little kid. Well, they didn't have that before, the ability to do that. They couldn't do it. So go ahead. These are some of the big boys that they, about 10-minute walk from our house, they're running around. One of those charged us one time. That's the map there that's back there on that. Kenya is shaped a little bit like Nevada, and it's about twice the size of Nevada. We now have one more Bible college, too. We're now in 25 locations. We now have one more church, 20, makes 27 now. Just driving through some traffic there. The cars, you get this close together literally, and it's organized chaos. Pat doesn't really like to watch when I'm driving through there because you're like this. But it is. I recommend if you come to Kenya, do not, if you're living there, don't drive for about a year because you need to figure out how they drive. Because it really is organized chaos, and you could have some troubles if you started trying to drive right away. These are our three directors in Meru area on Western Kenya, and he's on the coast. That's on the coast out there. It gets very, very, very hot out there and very humid. But the ocean it's 90% Islamic out there. We are reaching Muslims. On December 2nd, we will graduate our first classes from the coast. Two of them are Muslims who got born again after they came to Bible college. They wanted to come and, you know, and find out what the deal was. Well, they found out, praise God. One of them's 55 and was a pretty hard-line Muslim. Now he's hard-lined for Jesus. And that's why we're on the coast. And in west, and next to us, that town in the desert, is also 80% Muslim. And we want to, my heart is to reach Islam with the gospel. Okay. That's around our house there. See the monkey? That waterfall, there's two of them there, and it's a lot bigger than it looks. And we baptize people in that river there. That's one of the graduations Western in our house. That's, again, driving through some of the town. It gets really busy and congested. And this man here, we have lots of churches with through him. This one guy has over here has 26 churches in India as a graduate of our Bible college on our board. So now we have an influence there. This guy's got two down in Tanzania, and we got a bunch there. He gets about 100 people born. He's an evangelist, actually. About 100 every week come to the Lord. This year alone, I don't know all the numbers because I don't get all the reports, but I know at least 2,500 people have been born again because of our churches out there that we have. So, and it continues all the time, every week. That's our local church we have right there in our compound, the kids. That's a pastor's wife of one of our other churches. Around these villages. That's one of our students, and we have them get up and share the word.
No, that's Pastor Peter who is.
No, he's not.
That's not Pastor Peter?
No. Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No, no, that's one of the students. This lady is from that Darobo tribe here. She got born again, you can see. And when she gets born again, then she shares it with everybody else, and they're supposed to just accept it. We don't know if that's happened yet, but if God can reach somebody at that age, and honestly, you don't know how old he is, this is the guy who has two wives who got born again. That water hole there is the only water hole they have when there's no water in the river. And he goes down there, and those sheep you saw, he was singing this real soft melodic tune, real soft. And we're down here about a half a mile from the top of the hill, and all of a sudden hundreds of sheep just come running down that thing. He was singing very softly. You wouldn't be able to hear it up there, but they heard his voice. Jesus says, "My people hear my voice." He doesn't have to speak loudly. Huh? It was amazing to watch that. And there's that little hole, and some of them would fall in the hole, you know, and it's a real deep well, and he just pick them up and grab them up out of there. Kind of like Jesus does for us. And we fall in that hole, he pulls us out. Praise God, we don't drown. So, and that's us. That tree there is about 14 feet in diameter. You can't tell, I couldn't back up far enough to take the picture. The sunlight shine on there, but it's a boa tree. That was the first time, that was in July when we were there. It was the first time we'd ever seen leaves on that tree because it hadn't rained so many years that on the coast that we just never seen leaves on that stuff. We never saw any food growing out there or anything. This particular time it had rained a little bit and it just blooms.